Welcome to Forward Thinking, a podcast from Foundation Source. I'm your host, Dori Krieger. Foundation Source is the nation's largest provider of comprehensive support services for private foundations, bringing unparalleled knowledge and expertise to over 1,200 clients across the country. The best ideas in philanthropy aren't always the tried and true. Trailblazing entrepreneurs and next-generation philanthropists are transforming the sector with inspiring ideas and innovative strategies. Join us as we explore the advice, experience, and insight of some of the creative minds shaping our collective future. I'm pleased to be in the studio today with Carrie Morgridge, who serves as the Vice President of the Morgridge Family Foundation. For the past 15 years, she and her husband, John, have worked tirelessly to leverage the foundation's funds, spark innovation, and fuel transformation. But she wasn't always in this position. Carrie had humble beginnings, a small-town California girl with big dreams, working two jobs to make ends meet. When her life changed and she had the opportunity to give back, she ran through every open door she could. Her hands-on, entrepreneurial style of philanthropy has earned her national recognition, and perhaps most importantly, she has helped improve the lives of thousands of people. This spring, Carrie captured those experiences in her first book, Every Gift Matters: How Your Passion Can Change the World. Carrie, thank you for being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
In your book, you describe how important it is for funders to find their passion. How did you find yours?
Ours came naturally. So my father-in-law had taken a company called Cisco public. And as the tech industry went up, so did his net worth. And he decided to get his kids involved with philanthropy with my mother-in-law. And at the time, when they asked us to get involved, our children were really little. And so our first gift was to a school and an education. And so we kind of learned along the way. But we got this euphoric high even back then from helping teachers because they were so appreciative and so respectful of the small gift that we gave them. And we immediately saw the impact of our gift. And that encouraged us to go on and do more in that area.
So what is it exactly about funding education and helping students that got you, and I think you said fired up in quotes in the book?
What we had to do to have impact was to really become laser focused. Mm-hmm. And we looked honestly for that focus for a long time. So we started with literacy. Again, our kids were little, so mm-hmm. that would be the right place to start.
Sure.
And then we grew up with it. And what happened was we went to a school because of John Farnham, my friend, and they had technology integrated right into the classroom. And the kids' attention and excitement for learning was at an all-time high. And it kind of was our aha moment in education of we should be integrating more technology into the classroom because our philanthropy dollars came from technology. Mm-hmm. We don't just give Cisco products. In fact, we don't really give Cisco products at all. But we really see the use and how it's helped children learn by going to individual learning when they do have technology in the classroom.
One of the things that I found really interesting in your book, you also talked about mistakes, too, and learning from those. And there's a quote, if I may, "If we aren't making mistakes, we're not taking enough risks." And I would wager that the majority of funders big and small, don't really talk about their mistakes or their, you know, mishaps along the way in grant making. What does the quote mean to you?
Well, we make failures. I call them failures, too. We make those oopsies all the time. We don't intend to make them. But sometimes when you're funding a grant and it is a risk-taking grant, you're not sure of the outcome. But sometimes we do fail. And what we've learned is start off smaller, learn, fail, pivot, learn, fail, pivot. But eventually you get it right.
One of the things, too, I wanted to talk to you about, there's a conversation in philanthropy now about adding a fourth T to the traditional three T's of giving, of time, talent, and treasure. And the fourth T is ties, your network, which seems fitting. We're in a world that's more networked than ever. And you had an interesting section in your book about not being bullied into making a grant that you didn't necessarily fit in with your interests. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
I found it really interesting when I talk to people about their giving, because I love to ask people, like, how do you give and where do you give and what turns you on? Because it's so different from what turns me on.
Right.
And I was being interviewed by a gentleman from Bloomberg Radio, and I just asked him, you know, tell me about your giving. And he's like, you know, I go because I'm obligated to go. I go because my girlfriend signed me up. And I'm like, well, have you ever found it? Have you ever gotten excited? And he said no. And it brought me back to thinking about the times where when we lived in a small community, if I gave to this foundation, then so-and-so was obligated to give to my favorite foundation.
Right.
And we decided years ago, John and I said, you know what, that's great, but we're not going to do our philanthropy that way. So we now give very small gifts where we don't want to give. In fact, I have a $500. It's kind of my standard rule. If I really am not interested in the project, but to support my friend, I'll send a $500 grant and leave it at that. I think it's a fair grant. It's not my interest and it's not my passion, but I'll help a little.
How do you avoid that feeling of guilt, though, with the social pressure? And a lot of philanthropists use their own social networks to further their cause they're into. But how do you not feel bullied into that? How do you be strong and say no?
So what has really worked for us is when somebody is making an ask for at our foundation is we remind them what we're already doing.
Mm.
Like we're already investing in the museum and we're already investing in, you know, literacy education and we're already doing, you know, foster care pilot and we're already looking at poverty systems. So this is what we're doing and I have a limited budget and therefore I won't be able to fund your project this year, but I wish you the very best. And we kind of leave it at that. 90% of the time, it goes really well. And then the other 10% of the time, it doesn't go well. So again, we've been bullied lots of times or tried to have been bullied. And it took me a while to learn how to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy.
But and people can do it.
People can do it.
So your book is really a reflection back on your 15 years as a funder, what you've learned along the way. And so for someone who's first starting out, what's your message to them? What should they be thinking about first?
The first step is really to find your passion and to find your niche. What is that? And then, in my opinion, start small. Because you're going to make mistakes along the way as a new donor. We've all made mistakes along the way. Again, every 6 months, we look back at our own grants using the Foundation Source report and say, this is what we're going to do in the future, and this is what we're going to stop doing.
Oh, that's
and we
powerful.
Highlight what we're going to stop doing. Get your feet wet. Get the success of lessons learned behind you and build upon that momentum. And success breeds more success. And that's how we've always started. So when we get involved with a new school district or a project, I'll generally jump in with between $25,000 and $100,000 because that's what I'm really willing to risk if we fail.
Mm-hmm.
If it succeeds, we have a clause to say, please come back. We want to go to the next level or the next step.
Well, Carrie Morgridge, thank you for joining me in the studio today. Folks should really check out your book, Every Gift Matters, How Your Passion Can Change the World.
The other last thing I wanted to say is that 100% of the proceeds goes to charity. So just so you know, and what we're going to be doing with the money. And I think the readers or the listeners would like to know, we've embarked on a new program where we take youth out of juvenile hall and give them a second chance and give them a job skill and a workforce development training and give them all the support they need. And we've had a 95% success rate. So 100% of the proceeds will be going into that project.
Great. So again, thank you for being in the studio.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
To learn more about this segment of Forward Thinking and our work at Foundation Source, please visit our resources page at foundationsource.com. While you're there, tell us what you thought of this segment and who you'd like to hear in a future one. We'd love to hear from you. Our podcast is produced by Gabrielle Galanek. I'm your host, Dori Krieger.